And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Batter up! Welcome to No Bunts, the podcast for the casual baseball fan here on the Athletic Baseball Show. I'm Tass Mellis. Thank you so much for joining us. With me in studio, it's super producer JD.
Hello.
What's up, JD? And with us all season long, all the way from Taiwan, it's Joel McMillan. Joel, how are you, sir?
I am very well, Tass. Thanks for asking. Having a great day.
Yeah, usually I don't ask. Well, that's great. Yeah, it's evening for you, morning for us. And as I always ask, let's get to it right now. Have the cats been fed here at 8:20 p.m. for you?
The cats have been fed, Tass. They're good to go. They are good to go.
Thank you. You know what is also good to go? Our IG account, where you're killing it, no_bunts. Joel, a lot of great content there, a lot of great storytelling, so join us there. Also, join us on our YouTube account, The Athletic Baseball Show, to join us live every Wednesday. Come on, be part of the bleacher creatures, as people are right now chatting it away as we get into this show. But let's do that. Let's do that, because we got a lot coming up, Joel. We'll assign the appropriate corporate name to MLB teams. What does that mean? Well, Joel will tell you. Joel's going to do the assigning, and JD and I will discuss if they're good corporate names. That'll be fun. We will celebrate AAPI Heritage Month. But first, let's take a look at the five best things in baseball this week. Yes, baby. I think this is the first time we've done this season, JD.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a great sting that JD made, so let's play that organ.
Let's use it more.
It's exciting because we've got five great topics, a little non-baseball-y off the field, a little distasteful, air quotes, distasteful stuff. But first, a real baseball story. It's J.P. France's perfect debut. Let's start with the champs. The Astros have had some starting pitching problems lately, Joel. Luis Garcia went down. He will need Tommy John surgery. And then the next day, Jose Urquidy went out, most likely until the All-Star break, with a shoulder problem. Well, that opened up the door for J.P. France to get called up for the first time, making his first appearance in Major League Baseball, and it was a good one. Five scoreless innings pitched with five Ks. If you watch him, he's got kind of a unique delivery. It's a short delivery, gets it to the catcher real quick. He's got five pitches. He's made a lot of alterations to his form. Since he was drafted in 2018, he wears baseball glasses, those cool baseball glasses. He also sports a mustache. And actually, in the crowd, his three-month-old son was also sporting a mustache. a pacifier mustache that we're showing to you here in support of dad. That's Liam, who was also making his ballpark debut, I do believe, thanks to his wife Jessica for the photo of their son Liam. She was in attendance, and a dozen of their friends were as well. It was, I call it perfect because it was five innings. They actually lost the game, but for him it was perfect, and it was perfect in the eyes of his wife Jessica. Great article on The Athletic, articulated, written by Chandler Rome, which you got to go see, from the eyes of Jessica, who was on The Real World and The Challenge way back when, as Jessica McCain, her maiden name. Did you watch either of those, Joel, The Real World or The Challenge?
No, Tass. Don't think we got those in Canada back in the day. Missed those. But I know, like, obviously I've heard of them. I know they're significant shows. Just never watch them. Yeah, never got a chance to see them.
JD?
TV
connoisseur.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember The Real World being on somewhere, and I watched a couple of episodes, but The Challenge, definitely not. We weren't We didn't get that in Canada. Mm-hmm. It was back when MTV was actually banned in Canada. Like, banned.
Because it was competition.
Because it was American. Yeah, you couldn't have a fully American owned broadcaster just broadcasting stuff that wasn't under the CRTC.
But what do you mean? We had like over-the-air broadcasters. We had networks.
We had networks, yeah.
But no cable channels at the time?
But no, yeah, there was no MTV. There's no HBO. HBO literally banned in Canada.
Oh, hold on. Hold on a second.
I'm telling you.
So every American channel that we watched that made up for the majority of our programming.
Like over-the-air stuff, NBC, CBS, and later Fox. I mean, that was over-the-air. So if you had an antenna, you could get it.
Was that because it was direct competition for much music?
That's like exactly right. Oh, it was infringing on Canadian culture. So
that's right.
And you couldn't make NBC, you know, conform to the rules of the land, and there's Canadian content rules in Canada. So, mm-hmm. So now there's still, it's actually technically still banned because there's MTV Canada,
uh-huh.
but not right. the actual MTV.
Okay. Well,
sorry to derail all
of
this.
I asked, that's my fault. Back to the baseball. Joel, any worries about the Astros staff, or is this sort of like the Altuve scenario who's hopefully coming back soon, where they can overcome that because of their depth?
I think they can. You know, obviously the injuries on consecutive nights look really bad, but Houston, I don't know how they do it, Tass. They just, like, they lose a guy and there's always a guy, like, right there. They lost Correa. And then his name escapes me, the shortstop. I think his name is Pena. He won World Series MVP last year. Yeah. Tucker, you know, the outfielder. Like, they just kind of lose guys. Like, they lost Springer and they got Tucker. It just seems like they've always got guys in the pipeline test to come up. And, you know, it's kind of next man up. I mean, Houston, the AL West isn't necessarily strong. So I think if they could kind of tread water and weather the storm, they're going to be fine. I'm still going to pick Houston to win the American League pennant, even with these injuries.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, the 28-year-old J.P. France likely to be a fixture of the rotation for at least a couple months. So a great story as a rook coming up. I highly encourage you to go over to The Athletic and read that article that goes into even more depth about the relationship between Jessica and JP and how they met through Bumble. Joel.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bumble was banned in Canada, JD, but Joel, have you met anyone through Bumble?
I haven't met anyone through Bumble, but I met my wife through an app. We met through an app. I think it was called BB Chat or BB Talk. Something with a B. That's how we met.
Oh, good stuff. You might want to make sure you know what the name of it is, just to have it in your back pocket, just to confirm it's BB Chat or BB
Talk. I don't know which one.
All right, good stuff. Okay, let's move on. Second best thing in baseball this week. Some definitely reveling in this. The New York state of panic, as Joel, you wanted to call it. Let's start with the Yankees, and we'll get to the Mets because they're both struggling out of the gate. The Yankees above 500, but that's good for last in the tough AL East. Red Sox playing above their expectations. The Rays, the Jays, and of course the Orioles playing really well. GM Brian Cashman addressed the media last week. He had a 30-minute media session talking to everybody. He said, quote, "Don't count us out. Don't give up on us. They've got a lot of injuries, Joel. How worried should the Yankees be after this start?"
Well, Tasso, of the two teams, I would say I'm less worried about the Yankees because I think the Yankees, their issues just injuries. They've just been decimated with injuries. And, you know, Tasso, like going back the last couple of years, I feel that's really been the thing that's held New York back in a lot of ways is that they just haven't been able to stay healthy and
Do they sign old guys that are injury prone? Is that the sort of that's the rep, I guess. Is that a problem or is that it's just happenstance?
I think there's some credence to that, but they have a lot of talent on that team. Like, obviously they signed Carlos Rodon, and that looks like a very bad signing thus far. He needs I think he got another injection, and he's out indefinitely. The Yankees are kind of being coy about when he's going to come back. Mm-hmm. They're a great team on paper, Tass, if they're healthy. They're an extremely talented team, but you don't win games on paper. So I attribute New York's kind of slow start to the fact that they're not healthy. If they're healthy, I think they're a great team. So I think there's more upside taking a look at both New York teams. I think there's more upside with the Yankees, just because I'm going to attribute that to their health. But there definitely are concerns. They blew a 5 or 6-0 lead on the road in Tampa with Cole on the mound. That's a tough loss to swallow for them, and against a divisional rival. And Tampa's out to this historic start. So, the Yankees can't get too far behind, but I'm not really worried about them. But the Mets, there's some serious concerns. They're just playing bad baseball. They're 3-12 in their last 15. They lost in this stretch, they lost series at home to the Rockies and the Nationals. And then they went on the road and they lost to the Tigers. They're just playing bad baseball. Their starting rotation is 29th in WAR, and their bullpen, I believe, is 19th. The pitching just hasn't been good. This grand experiment of signing two aces, but who are pushing 40, the returns are not good. Again, the Mets have a lot of talent too, but they're just not playing well. But who knows? I mean, maybe this is just their bad stretch and it's coming at the beginning of the season. I don't know, but the early returns, on all the off-season spending the Mets did, Tass, it looks bad, and I'd be more worried about the Mets, because that's a tough division. And Atlanta's a legit contender. Philly went to the World Series last year. They can't get too far behind in that division, even with the expanded playoffs. So I'm more worried about the Mets at this point.
It's not quite the AL East, but the NL East, you're right, it is a tough division. I've been reading recently about the Braves, as you mentioned there, and how they almost feel like there's a feeling in the Braves clubhouse like the playoffs are inevitable already, especially with the Mets starting off so poorly. Braves got a big week this week here in Atlanta. But as far as the Mets go, this is a team that won 100 games last year and started sub 500. And Max Scherzer scratched from his start Tuesday, neck spasms. He had only made one start after coming back after that 10-game suspension with the old sticky stuff. He hasn't started well. I totally hear what you're saying. The Yankees did get Aaron Judge back yesterday, but Rodon hurt, Stanton hurt, and a bunch of guys like Hicks, Cabrera, and others haven't performed well out of the gate, so...
Tass, I just want to jump in really quickly.
Yes.
I don't understand why Hicks is still getting regular playing time in New York. He's just bad. Like, he's bad by every single metric. And it's not like the Yankees can clearly afford to eat that contract. He's not really making, he's making a decent chunk of change, but he's an albatross in that lineup, Tass. He's awful offensively. He's awful defensively. I don't know why the Yankees, a team that's basically positioned and set up to win now, why they're trotting him out there and he's getting regular playing time. It doesn't make any sense from a baseball standpoint. I mean, he's below league average offensively and by a significant amount. So I don't really get it. And Tass, just really quickly, collectively, the Yankees and the Mets this season are spending $624.9 million in payroll. Yikes.
That's a lot, Joel. That's a difficult number to wrap my head around, in all honesty. They're not top two. I guess the Padres are still up there.
No, Mets are one and Yankees are two.
Oh. They're not getting bang for their buck, Joel. Let's be honest here.
They are not. They're not getting bang for the buck.
Well, Aaron Hicks did leave yesterday's game with hip tightness, so maybe he's played himself out of the lineup because of injury, but no report here on the severity of that injury. All right, moving on. Next story here. Best five things in baseball this week. Get ready for your heart to feel warm, because I want to talk about the returns of both the White Sox Liam Hendricks and the Phillies Bryce Harper. The Hendricks story is truly inspirational. The White Sox closer, he had 37 saves last season, but he did not feel like himself. he actually found lumps in his neck during the season. He was officially diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin lymphoma in December. And since he's gone through some difficult times, he's undergone chemotherapy 4 rounds, and he has beaten cancer back, and he made his first appearance this past week with AAA Charlotte, an emotional scene there. All went well. He made another appearance, and he should be back closing for the White Sox soon. So that was an emotional press conference as he returned talked to in front of his teammates. So the Liam Hendricks story, a very inspirational story in that White Sox clubhouse as he approaches a return with the White Sox, Joel.
Yeah, it's great to see. I've always really liked Liam Hendricks. He pitched for the Blue Jays for a couple years. I loved him. He's an Aussie. He's a straight shooter. He was mic'd up at the All-Star game a couple years ago and cursed on air, which was really funny. He's just a really good dude. His press conference that he gave a couple days ago, you know, he was very, I don't know how to describe it, but he was just very humbled, you know, by the support he got. And, you know, he was giving a lot of thanks. And he said, you know, I didn't say why me, you know, why not me? I thought it was a really interesting way. It sounds like he really, you know, approached this head on and didn't really get down on himself and get too sad and get too frustrated. And it's absolutely great to see him back. And I don't think it's just a great baseball story. I think it's a great human story in general. So very, very excited to see him back. And I'm sure the White Sox are, you know, they need all the help they can get at this point. So yeah, his return is just a great story. And it is a heartwarming story, Tess. You're right.
The other story, Bryce Harper, has returned with the Phillies back after 5+ months after undergoing Tommy John surgery on November 23rd after the team's World Series run. Usually takes about 8 months to come back from Tommy John, but Bryce Harper is a quick healer. And the fact that he's returning only as a DH and not in the outfield where he doesn't have to throw accelerated his timeline. And when he can throw a few months from now, he could come back as a first baseman where he has never played. He could stick in as a DH, but the fact that there's that possibility gives Rob Thompson, their manager, some flexibility. And yeah, this is just me as sort of a casual fan, but the fact that it's the DH position in the NL and that exists has allowed Bryce Harper to come back sooner because he would still be out a few months, if not for that DH position. And I know you love Bryce, Joel. He's already hitting well. What's your take on Bryce coming back this quickly?
I think it's amazing. You know, I think it's a great story for baseball. We posted something on Instagram about it earlier. I kind of feel, Tess, it's weird that MLB is giving him a hard time about his equipment issues. You want your stars on the field. And I don't think you want their health to be jeopardized at all. So it's great to see Harper back. It's
quickly on the equipment issue. He basically needs his elbow to be stabilized when he gets out to first base, right? Like he hits, and then when he gets to first base, he wants basically to be able to put on this brace. But because of the pitch clock, they're essentially saying, we're not going to wait for you. So you still have to pitch to the next hitter within the time span, and it will still be a penalty to the next hitter. So that's what they're saying. I guess he could put it on, and his teammate will essentially be administered a strike if he's out of the box. But that's the scenario there, just to explain it as you articulated it on Instagram. But go ahead. He's already hitting a dinger, though. He's feeling good. And he's not just pleasing fans, Joel. When they played Boston this past weekend, he met Red Sox Masataka Yoshida. And Masataka Yoshida's always loved Bryce Harper. This is his first year in MLB with the Red Sox. And the rookie wore 34 in Japan for Bryce Harper. And he actually named his dog Harper. Do we have that cute photo, JD? It's a super cute photo. The dog looks great for just having Tommy John surgery. Yes, I had that. I had that joke in the. There it is. If you're watching along on YouTube, yeah. I guess the dog wasn't big enough to get 34 on his back. But he's wearing a number 3 jersey. Yoshida holding a dog with a baseball jersey. Fantastic stuff. And Bryce, you've always loved your Bryce, Joel. I think is he fair to say one of your favorites? Are you going to rank him? Rank them 1, 2, 3. You don't have to. I don't know if you can rank your children.
Okay, Tass, I'll put it this way. I think maybe I'll get a Harper jersey for one of the cats. I'm going to get a Harper jersey for one of the cats.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait to show that. Can't wait to see that on IG. No underscore bunts. All right, number 4 of our best things in baseball this week. I loved this, Joel. The Rays' Wander Franco has been having a phenomenal year. The shortstop fielded a ball, and he had so much time to throw out the runner at first base that he flipped the ball to himself. So fielded it in his glove. He had it in his bare hand, his throwing hand, and he just flipped it up. Like, just threw it up to himself. He caught it, and then he threw out Brian Reynolds of the Pirates with time to spare. Some out there calling it distasteful. Joel, what's your take on the ball flip? It's not a bat flip. It's a ball flip from Wander Franco.
I loved it too. I loved it too. It just looked so slick, especially in slow-mo when they were posting it like all over social media and I saw the replays. It just looked so smooth. I can understand why people have an issue with it just as a fan. I thought it looked amazing. And Tass, it's kind of like a win-win, I feel, as a fan, because, you know, like, he made the play and it looks really, really smooth and slick. But if he had botched it, it would have been equally hilarious as a fan, and I would have laughed, and, you know, I would have enjoyed it as well. So kind of a win-win. But yeah, I liked it. Wander Franco is just so smooth to watch play baseball, whether he's hitting, whether he's playing defense. He's just an electric player to watch. I personally loved it, but I can see how people are not a fan of it.
I can't see how people aren't a fan of it. I think flipping a bat is far more disrespectful, because this is during a play. He is able to field it and throw out the runner. And, you know, he wouldn't do this if it was Otani or somebody quick who can beat out an infield grounder. I mean, it was a sharply hit ball. He had time to throw Brian Reynolds, the outfielder for the Pirates. I was so happy to see it. I just think a bat flip when, you know, you're showboating. This is, you can call it showboating, sure, but I mean, it's like during the action. I think it's more like Muhammad Ali, you know, kicking his feet out, floating like a butterfly, yeah, kind of thing. Like, you want to beat me, come beat me. And I just think it's great for baseball. It's just showing how talented these guys are. I can't remember seeing anything like it. Obviously, you've got guys flipping the ball to each other at second base, you know, with their gloves, mm-hmm, or that kind of thing to turn double plays. But has there been anything of this sort?
I can't remember, like, not off the top of my head. I'm sure maybe a similar play exists somewhere in the history of baseball, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. That just looks so slick.
Yeah, Hootsky here in amongst the bleacher creatures writes, he alley-ooped it to himself, which is a good call, a little basketball tie there. And I do like the basketball tie, because to me it's like a guy on a breakaway and he throws down a windmill dunk. It's still 2 points. It's still an out here by Wander Franco, but with a little bit of pizzazz. And that's why it's yeah, I would say a guy after he, you know, hits a ding-dong and looks at the pitcher and flips a bat is a little bit more disrespectful than a guy who's able to do this and show his talents. It was beautiful. Frankly, I thought it was beautiful. The only person who didn't was Brian Reynolds, I guess, going up first base. But that, come on, that was great stuff. All right, another sort of, you know, baseball adjacent here at number 5 best things in baseball this week. The Padres have a little bit of a rivalry going with the Dodgers after beating them in the playoffs last year. And this past weekend, they displayed an image of Clayton Kershaw crying on their jumbo trial. They played them in a weekend series. They beat them. and Clayton Kershaw in game number one of the series. And so at the end of the game, they always put up this bell that dings on their Jumbotron. But within the bell, they photoshopped Clayton Kershaw's face. They always do this after a win, but it's usually just a bell. Instead, they put Kershaw's face, and it's a crying meme up instead of the bell. We're showing it to you on YouTube. I mean, really, it's kind of like the crying Jordan meme, but it's Kershaw with tears coming down his face. Is this distasteful, Joel?
No. I mean, it's silly. I think it's a bit silly, but also, Tass, I really like the legit rivalry that the Padres and the Dodgers have brewing at this point. There's, San Diego finally kind of got over the hump and knocked the Dodgers out of the playoffs last year. So that just kind of adds another chapter. I thought it was kind of silly. And then also, Tess, too, like kind of, jumping on this, there were fans that had a sign on the Sunday night game that says Mookie Betts eats corn the long way. The sign got confiscated. And Betts actually ended up hitting the game tying home run in the ninth inning. And the Dodgers actually went on to win that game. And after that kind of crying Kershaw meme they put on the scoreboard, the Dodgers actually won the next two games. So I think it's a bit silly, but I just kind of like how it's, building this rivalry. I think it's pretty harmless. There was some pearl clutching I saw like on baseball social media, like get over it. Kershaw didn't even really care. Like he handled it like a pro. He didn't really seem to be too bothered by it. So if Kershaw's not bothered by it, like I'm certainly not going to be bothered by it. And I don't think anyone else should be too. So I think it's just kind of like a cute little playful thing. And, I don't think it's really distasteful at all. No.
Yeah. Kershaw lost that first game as we said. And then, he basically said, I just got to pitch better. When he was asked about the old meme on the Jumbotron, which they obviously had it prepared, Joel. They obviously had this cutout prepared for when it was the end of the ninth and they wanted to celebrate, and they had the cutout of Kershaw go up on the Jumbotron. Would have been hilarious if they actually mistakenly put that up in a loss or something like that. But the Dodgers, as you said, came back to win the next two games, and all's good for them as they lead the NL West. And they've come back after sort of starting a little bit slowly, but they've overtaken the Diamondbacks for the lead. It's great to have a little rivalry, Joel. It is fun. And the Padres made it a rivalry after beating them last year in the postseason. Otherwise, it wasn't much of one because they hadn't beaten them. Got a little juice there. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. We actually have some more Dodgers-Padres news coming up. And also, Taiwanese cheerleaders are coming to perform at a Mets game this season. We'll get to that right after the break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome back to No Bunts. It is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month here in May, so we decided to spend some time talking about baseball in Asia and how it's impacting baseball stateside, especially with our Joel living in Taiwan. First, let's start with some news, because there's a report out there that the Dodgers and Padres are going to kick off the 2024 season in South Korea. That's a fantastic matchup they're getting there in South Korea, as we just talked about. The rivalry there between those two teams, and Korean Ha-Sung Kim, the Padres infielder, will be there, I'm sure, a fan favorite for everybody, and obviously the South Korean native. Joel, can you take us through the history, because I'm not sure of it, but the history of regular season games being played in Asia?
Yeah, well, as it stands right now, Tess, this will be, I believe, the second series, like the second regular season series played in an East Asian country. The first one took place in 2019 when the Athletics and the Mariners started the season. Ichiro got that big moment where he got to walk off the field in front of the Japanese fans, which was a really nice moment. So this will be the second series played in an East Asian country. But Tess, the history actually goes back further than that, not playing regular season games, but the MLB and East Asia actually have a strong and historical relationship. They sent players there actually in 1922 and 1923 to Korea, Japan, the Philippines, China, and Hawaii. Obviously, that's not Asia, but it was part of a tour that they did at the time. And Babe Ruth actually went over in 1934 and played some exhibition games in Japan as well. And then starting in 1986 and then going up all the way to 2004, every other year, the MLB would send like MLB All-Stars to go over and play some of the Japanese teams in an exhibition tournament after the season ended. Now, that stopped, I believe, in 2004. They revived it in 2014 and they played it in 2018. So there definitely is kind of a relationship between the two countries here. Between MLB and these countries.
Thank you for the history lesson. And we talked about the World Baseball Classic preseason here, which you got to attend to. And yeah, people should go back and listen to that show on March 15th that we did, because Taiwan was hosting the A pool. But just to jump on that side, the World Baseball Classic, Japan is a permanent host. They have permanent hosts within the World Baseball Classic that we see every 4 years.
Yeah, so Japan is basically the permanent host, I would say, of the Asia Pacific region. And then the United States is a permanent host of the, North American region, whatever you want to call it. I mean, Japan is just such a baseball hungry country. Japan always performs well. They always draw well. It looks great on TV. The Tokyo Dome's rocking, when Japan's playing. So they're basically a permanent host. Taiwan and Korea have also hosted a few times, but they haven't been permanent hosts. So I think it's a good look for this tournament with Japan being a permanent host.
Okay, this next question here for you. I don't know if it's fair. It's probably not. I'm gonna ask something that's it's a difficult question, I would find, but there's more and more Asian players of Asian descent in Major League Baseball. How is the scouting for Major League Baseball when it comes to Asian countries? Is it sort of like the scouting in the Caribbean? I'm sure it's hard to quantify, and this is a very, 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 very unanswerable question, but I'm giving it to you anyways. What's the scouting like in Asia?
Well, Tess, as it stands right now, two-thirds, almost 20 teams basically have scouting or permanent scouting departments in East Asia right now. It's a bit more complicated here because there's a posting system, the way that the KBO and the NPB are run. So there's a bit more kind of hoops that teams have to jump through in terms of just getting players stateside. But, that still being said, there's still obviously a huge footprint in terms of investment with MLB teams in the region. You're just seeing more and more players, talented players, come from this part of the world. And I mean, Tess, you don't need to look any further than Ohtani. He's the best player in the game today, and he comes from Japan. So, I think that's a testament to the level of talent that's coming over from this part of the world. And I think going forward, you're just going to see more and more talent, come, from Taiwan and Japan and Korea as these investments increase in the future, because that's what's going to happen. I feel some of these places where these teams are scouting, it's a bit saturated, especially, Tess, like you talked about in the Caribbean. There's just more players in this part of the world. And you're going to see more and more teams just invest here.
Oh yeah, you mentioned the KBO there. I remember the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization, and during the pandemic, that's what people were were watching here, as it was the first major sports league to return to play in that summer, early summer, I guess it was back then. So that was taking over the airwaves, not only in America, but probably in Canada too, unless they have rules that they can't show Korean baseball. But anyway, moving on here. As far as MLB players going over to Asia after their career, I was just wondering, does that happen? Do MLB players go and extend their careers playing in Asia?
Well, it's a bit of both tasks. Some guys kind of do a victory lap in Asia, you know, because they just still love playing, but they can't really get a contract in MLB, you know, so they come over here, you know, at the tail end of their career just to kind of enjoy what they have left of it. But Tess, it's also an opportunity for guys to kind of resurrect their career. You know, guys have come over, they've started in the MLB, struggled, but still feel that they can contribute and they have that talent, but they go overseas and they kind of, like I said, they resurrect their career. You know, there's obviously scouts there watching, not just Japanese, Korean, and Taiwanese players. They're scouting everyone. And you know, if they impress the teams, you know, these guys get an opportunity to come back and play in Major League Baseball. And Tass, I've just got a couple names here. There was Cecil Fielder, Eric Thames, Hall of Famer, Goose Gossage actually went to Japan, came back. Two-time World Series winner Ryan Vogelsong of the San Francisco Giants. Manny Ramirez played for my home team here in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. Julio Franco actually did two tours of duty here in Japan. And Kevin Youkilis and Adam Jones, five-time All-Star. So those are some pretty big names. It's not just kind of, you know, something that these guys are doing like for fun or whatever. I think they take it very seriously. And also, too, Tass, like if I'm an MLB player, if I've played professional baseball, I think these leagues are a great opportunity for a couple reasons. One, I can resurrect my career. But two, like if I'm just simply not good enough to play in the MLB and that happens, this is a pretty good consolation prize. You're getting to make a decent amount of money playing. You're playing professional baseball and you're in front of great, boisterous, noisy crowds. So I don't think that that's a bad thing at all. I think it's great.
The players over there take it seriously. Absolutely. And the people take their Rakuten girls cheerleaders extremely seriously. This is another story. This is a news story. The Rakuten girls, they're cheerleaders that represent the Rakuten Monkey team in the CPBL. They are actually coming over and will be at a Mets game on August 27th as part of the Mets Taiwan Day. So the Rakuten girls, as they are known, they perform on the dugouts during games. And we went into it on March 15th in our show. The cheerleaders in Taiwan there, they are a lot different. They perform a lot differently. They lead cheers. They're on the dugouts throughout play for the home team, we clarified, right, Joel? They're always on the dugouts, leading those cheers. They generally sit while the road team hits because it's more of a, you know, a fanfare experience while, yeah, they're up and leading cheers. And as you shared on No Bunts, I need clarification on this. On No Bunts' Instagram account, I need clarification that stories about them are covered as intensely as player transactions. Is this true, Joel?
I don't know if I would say as intensely, but they definitely get covered. Like it was in the news, you know, we posted, I don't know her name. I'm going to butcher her name, but she was a Korean cheerleader. She was famous in Korea and she decided to be a Rakuten girl. And yeah, like it was reported like it's a big news story here because they are famous here in Taiwan. And yeah, just within a couple of days of her announcement, she gained 30,000 followers on Instagram. So it is a big deal here. And there's another cheerleader too as part of the team. Her name's Mizuki. And she's got 1.6 million followers on Instagram. No joke. So they're a big deal here, Tess. They've got music videos and they sing and they dance. They've got their own YouTube channel. It's worth a watch. It's pretty interesting to see. So yeah, they're a big deal here. Yeah, definitely.
I'm wondering in that late August game at Citi Field if they're going to perform the same way they do during the Rakuten Monkey games and as they do during the Taiwanese games, where again they're up during live play you literally kind of, if you're sitting behind the dugout, you kind of have to look through them as a ball is hit. They will be up standing and they lead cheers, specific cheers for each and every player. So when Pete Alonso comes up, I imagine they're going to have a Pete Alonso cheer and a Pete Alonso chant that everybody's got to learn for him. And that's why it was so fun. And you explaining it on March 15th on our show back then during pool A play that, yeah, I was debating whether or not I like it. Do I want to have people in front of me during play? But it definitely got people into it, and I'm sure it's going to get all the Pete Alonso fans or every other fan into the game. If there was a Pete Alonso chant, Joel, what do you think it would be? Let's get up on the dugout and start our own chant. I didn't have that. Go ahead.
It would have to be, well, usually Tess, they use. They'll use certain songs or riffs or variations of songs. So with Pete Alonso, I think you got to do something connected to cold as ice because his nickname's the polar bear. So I think there's something there for Pete.
Bang. Thank you for hitting that one out of the park, Joel. Yeah, they could pull it off, I'm sure. So looking forward to that. Yeah, again, August 27th, the Raccoon Girls cheerleaders will be at the Mets game for the Mets Taiwan Day celebration. We're going to continue our AAPI celebration here. In the spirit of Asian baseball, we'll assign MLB teams corporate names right after this break. All right, you are back with No Bunts. Inspired by baseball in Asia, we decided it'd be fun to assign MLB teams corporate names. So you swap out the city name for a company while keeping their nickname. Joel, before we do this for Major League Baseball teams, get rid of the city name. Make it a business. The Home Depot Braves, something of that nature. Why do they do this in Asia? Because it is entirely commonplace to lose the city name and throw in a company name.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima Crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew neck t-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so Tess, like I think we posted about this yesterday. It basically just comes down to a lot of teams share the same city. There's four teams that play in Tokyo or the greater Tokyo area. I think there's three or four teams that play in Seoul or the greater Seoul area, and there's three teams that play in Taipei. So it's, you can't really like share a city name. So they're just named basically after the corporations of the teams that own them.
Yeah, you did a great job of explaining that on Instagram. It is interesting, the territorial rights that the Major League Baseball teams have, and they just get shared in Asia. So let's go through some names for American/Canadian teams, if we're getting into the Blue Jays as well. Take it away, Joel. What do you got?
Okay, so Tess, my rationale for this was I was going to give we did six teams, and I'm going to name them after a regional business. Okay, so one from each division. So I'm going to start first with my Toronto Blue Jays. Tass, you'll appreciate this. Based in Vaughan, Ontario, Swiss Chalet, the Swiss Chalet Jays. Let's go. Let's go. And as a tie-in, Tass, I'm going to do a promotion for each one, or like something kind of connected. Every time Jordan Romano closes a game, he has to wash his fingers in that tiny little dish with a piece of lemon. Only Swiss Chalet fans will get that reference, but you guys will. So that would be kind of the tie-in. Romano's got to, you know, wash his hands with the lemon.
I didn't know if I liked the Swiss Chalet Jays, but then you sold it. because after a meal, they come over with just a tiny little bowl, tiny little petri dish of water with a slice of lemon in it. So yeah, it's a little bowl with a slice of lemon in water. That
it's a finger bowl.
A finger bowl. Is there a name for that?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's delightful.
It's totally true. Instead of a wet nap, boom.
I don't think they do it anymore though, because every time I come home. Of course, I got to go to Swiss Chalet. Yeah, it's on the list. But they don't do it. But I think if you actually ask for it, they'll do it, which is odd because it used to be commonplace. But yeah, they don't do it anymore. And it's a weird thing for them to have stopped doing. It's just water and lemon. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it's a pandemic thing, but it's actually it's anti-germs. It's cleaning germs. Wow. What do you think about the Swiss Chalet love here, JD, as a fellow Canadian?
Oh, 100% in on the Swiss Chalet Jays. Yes. I think the home run celebration is just a chef's kiss of it's perfect. And I have a great affection for Swiss Chalet, just like Joel. I got to have it when I go home.
Thank you.
And I remember our cameraman Todd back in the starters days, Tass. He wrote to Swiss Chalet, and they sent him because he was in Toronto.
Yeah,
he's an Atlanta guy.
Toronto All-Star Game.
He went to Swiss Chalet. He loved it so much. He wrote them a letter, like a letter, and they sent. This is a grown man, and they sent him like Swiss Chalet merch, like a Swiss Chalet Ringer T-shirt. He wore it all the time. I was so jealous of that shirt too.
What did he say in his letter?
I don't know. I have no idea because he's. Well, he had a habit of like complaining a lot. Like, I don't think he was complaining. I think this is one of the few times where he would be like, you know, he would get on Twitter and go like, United Airlines, what the hell, kind of thing.
Yeah,
try to get some juice.
Yeah, he does that.
He does that. But I think he was using his power for good for once because he loved the chicken so much at Swiss Chalet.
It's great chicken.
It is great chicken.
It's a great sauce.
And the bowl, I'm sad to hear it's gone. If it's gone,
I love doing that too.
It's environmentally better, right?
Better.
Like it's just better.
Absolutely.
Instead of using another napkin or a wet nap, and the chicken is good. It for Americans, I think it's got the a bit of the reputation like Chick-fil-A. Like there's a love for it, and you can buy the sauces separately, sort of like you can buy the Chick-fil-A sauces. And I guess we were lucky enough to be back to Todd and writing to Swiss Chalet. We were lucky enough to be in Canada for a week then,
right?
For the Toronto All-Star Game in 2016, for the Raptors game, for covering for the starters. Now No Dunks, our basketball show. So maybe he went multiple times. I think he did.
It's possible.
But hold on. Quickly back to Jordan Romano, Jay's closer. Are just the fans doing this finger thing, like they're pretending to put their fingers in a bowl, or is Jordan Romano?
No, just Romano. Just Romano. Someone brings the Romano bowl.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then he just cleans the hands, shakes Kirk's hands or shakes Jans's hands and says, job well done. Let's go enjoy Tolbarone in the dugout and celebrate this W.
Also after the win, because he could Tolbarone.
So he's getting a festive special.
Yeah, that's right. You get a Tolbarone chocolate bar. He could, just to show that he doesn't have any sticky stuff on his hands, he could rinse his fingers before starting his inning as well. Mm. But great stuff after the victory. Okay, what we got here? Team number 2 of 6. Which division are we going to with our corporate name assigning?
Gonna stay in the American League, TASS, AL Central. Goodyear is based in Akron, which I know isn't Cleveland, but it's close enough. So let's go Goodyear Guardians. And TASS, the promotion is this: if a Guardians player hits for the cycle, fans get a free pair of white walls.
Wow.
Just roll them home. Just roll them home after the game. Throw them in the trunk, throw them on the roofs, strap them on.
Well done. I love the alliteration, obviously. I'm a fan of the Guardians name. I know it was, I'm sure it wasn't loved by everybody. Nobody likes change when it was first changed, but you're rolling home some white walls, are you? And I guess I guess those are tires for the uninitiated that just have a white side, right?
I believe it's something to do, TASS, with they have better traction or grip. And this is coming from someone who knows absolutely nothing about cars. But I just found this out in my research for the show. So, yeah, I think it's something to do like with traction or something.
I would think they're like anti-traction because they're old school tires, right, that are you maybe see on a classic car.
Yeah. Like a 57 Chevy, you would see white wall tires. I thought it was purely decorative, but I like you.
It could be,
Joel. I know nothing about this.
Anyways, it feels Clevelandy to go Goodyear Guardians. Good stuff. And the cycle doesn't happen very often, so the promotion wouldn't happen very often either. So good stuff there, Joel. Okay, number 3 of our 6 here.
Okay, last American League team, TASS, and because I'm 5'9", I love to pick my low-hanging fruit. The waste management Astros. Now, the promotion is each fan gets a garbage can, and on it, it says, since 2017, we've won 2 World Series titles, 4 pennants, and 5 straight divisional titles, so Astros fans, don't get mad at me. So the waste management Astros, I think that is perfect.
So everybody gets a garbage can? Is that what you said with all those?
Yeah, just a promotional giveaway. Like teams give away bobbleheads and, you know, stuff like that. So this tie-in could be, you know, fans get a trash can, which I'm sure Astros fans are tired of hearing about. And trust me, I get it. But so to kind of, you know, throw some shade, it could just list all of their accomplishments from the last 5 or 6 seasons. Let them know what's up.
That's a nice tie-in, Joel.
I like it.
That's a nice tie. Is waste management based in Texas? No, let's get deep.
Yeah, they're based in Houston. Yeah, I had to look it up. Yeah, so they're based right there in Houston.
I see them all over the place here in Georgia. So I just wanted to confirm. Well, that's a good one. I got no problem with that. I don't mind the name either, to be honest. Sounds like something that would be on the side of a building that would have a stadium sponsorship via waste management for sure. I'm sure Astros fans would be a little fussy with that, but that's a good one, Joel. I like it. I honestly saw it in the doc, kind of rolls off the tongue. So yeah, maybe you're picking your low hanging fruit, even though your personality is far bigger than 5'9". And that low hanging fruit, it's average. That's an average man's height, so it's not short. Anyway.
Okay. I'm glad you think that. 5'9 never looked so fine, Tess. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't think it. It's a fact. It came up recently. Anyways, it's the average height for an American man. That's all I got to say. You're far bigger than average, Joel. I think you're 5'9 and 1/8. That's what I've heard.
So we'll get the tape out later.
Okay. Moving on. We're going to the NL.
Yeah. This one was kind of easy. You know, MetLife Mets. I feel this was a very easy one. And the promotion for this, if the Mets lose 10 games in a row, Mets fans get an extra $500 added to their life insurance policy.
Wow.
As in, if you die, you get an extra $500?
Yeah. You know, I feel with all the stress and the anxiety that comes with being not only a Mets fan, but for a sports fan, I think it's only fitting. Yeah, MetLife Mets. I mean, you've got the name and
the
everything.
Name is good.
So, yeah, Mets fans deserve it. Like, they've had a tough road. I'm going to give the Mets fans some love here.
This is a dumb question. But what's a Met? Oh, it's a metropolitan. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a, like a, I don't know, isn't it a noun for someone who is a city dweller?
Yeah, I guess. So, I mean, going back to why these are assigned in Asia, I guess that's all they could come up with. Yankee, Met, the city dweller. I mean, they were assigned a long, long time ago, and it's interesting. I guess the Yankees are... What's more in the city? The Yankees stadium? It doesn't matter. They're both in New York, and it's a very big city. They can share it. The Metropolitans and the Yankees. MetLife Mets gets you $500 extra bucks if the Mets are on a 10-game losing streak. An easy one. All right, next one. Where are we going, Joel?
We are going to Chicago. Let's go Grubhub Cubs. Grubhub Cubs, based in Chicago. And the promotion for this task is if the Cubs win the division, you get 20% off all burgers, wings, and pizza. Offer not valid in Hawaii and Alaska. Sorry, Hawaii and Alaska.
That's a great one. That's a great one because this is a service that many people use. This isn't forced upon people. It's the Grubhub. People use it. And it rhymes. A lot.
It does rhyme.
Many times. It rhymes many times. I had a flashback for a sec, JD, if we're going back here, the starters days as well, when we were at the starters at NBA TV, we received a promotion. There was a promotion going on in the NBA with these things you get at concessions that would allow you to carry more food.
Right. Yeah.
Were they called Grubhub as well? Basically, it was sort of a topper for your drink. I call it a topper, but it would sort of be like a bowl on top of your drink that would have food in it. So you could just carry it a lot more easily, but it would sit perfectly on the drink. All these custom-made packaging.
Oh, was it Grubtub?
Grubtub.
It was the Grubtub. That didn't last very long, I don't think. Or did it?
Well, I mean, if they collaborate with the Grubhub Cubs... Maybe they've got a business idea there at Wrigley.
Grubtub sounds dirty. I'm sorry. That Grubtub sounds a little dirty.
Yeah. It looks dirty.
But the Grubhub... but the Grubhub, not dirty.
That's fine.
I'm fine with it.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm fine with Grubhub.
Okay, moving on to our last NL team. We're assigning corporate names here to a few MLB teams in the spirit of baseball in Asia. What do you got, Joel?
Oh, last one, National League West, no brainer. Coors Rockies. I mean, I think that is pretty much a slam dunk. And the promotion for this one, Tass, is if Chris Bryant hits 30 home runs at that game, all Rockies fans get to do free keg stands after the game.
Love
it. Let it rip.
Love it.
Let it rip. Just get you on there, you know, two people to hold you up and say, thank you, Chris Bryant. Let the good times roll.
Yeah, the Orioles don't want to have the homer hose. I mean, what was it called?
The bong dong. No, the
dong bong.
The dong bong.
The dong bong.
Yeah. So they want to call it
the homer hose. Yeah.
Yeah. They renamed it the homer hose, but Coors can take that mantle, take the beer mantle from the Orioles. Great stuff, Joel. Coors Field. Nobody wants to pitch there. But you want to hit there. So well done. We went around Major League Baseball there. We got six names there assigned by Joel. When are we going to do the other 24?
Yeah, let's throw it out to the stream team and let's throw it out to the fans. Let's see. Let's be creative. Let's see what they got.
great call. If you have a suggestion for a corporate name makeover, hit us up. No underscore bunts on IG, or come over to the YouTube video here on the Athletic Baseball Show. Drop it in the chats. We've got some already happening here from Hootsky, the Malort Cubs. That disgusting liquor in the Chicago area. The Ricearoni Giants. The Anheuser-Busch InBev Cardinals. Rolls off the tongue. The Miller Brewers. Some classics there. Great stuff. They want to take the beer mantle there in Milwaukee, which they could, I'm sure. So, yeah, let us know. No underscore bunts on IG, or jump over to the Athletic Baseball Show on YouTube. Fantastic stuff, Joel. That was a lot of fun. We will be back next Wednesday, as we always are. We go live on YouTube. Make sure to check out the rest of the shows on the Athletic Baseball Show feed. They get into the nasty Cardinals situation with Contreras. Lots of stuff happening over there, so listen there. But until then, we'll be back next week. We're out of here.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.